You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
people.
Who you gonna turn to next? Tell me. People. You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy. Uprooted out of Africa, our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if you were in the South, in the Southeast, it was not. It was not too good, the weather. In fact, unfortunately, some people have lost their lives in Louisiana and Mississippi and even here in Georgia. But also, too, you know, they were staying home. They were trying to be safe, and then that happens. A lot of calamities in this country, a lot of calamities in the world. I tell you. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, go to the archives. TimeForAnAwakening.com. Look for podcasts. Click on that, and then you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, too, in the Time for an Awakening rotation of rebroadcast, I'm going to be having some of my broadcasts in that rotation, and I'm thankful for that. Thank Brother Elliot. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, a quick announcement that on the programming tip, this Wednesday, Brother Franklin Jones will be joining me. That's right, the Black Matrix, the Black Matrix. But also, too, and last night I listened to Time for an Awakening, Brother Professor Manua Pim, Dr. Manua Pim, who is a primary researcher on a par with Brother Renoka Rashidi. They have gone to these places. They have gone. They have done the research. Tremendous. These two gentlemen, I tell you, and there I'm quite sure there are some others we may not know about who are doing the research. They just don't go online to Wikipedia. You know, they physically go and do the research. I met Brother Manua Pim, oh gosh, back in the 90s. You know, I'm at a conference that I was fortunate to go to. And excellent presentation. Never forgot it. Never will forget him. And I've checked him out on YouTube, and you should do the same. But last night, when he closes, Brother Elliot announces the upcoming week's programming, of course, my program and any others, which are very few, unfortunately. But he announced that starting at the end of the month, Brother Franklin Jones will be back. That's right, Brother Franklin Jones will be back on Monday and Wednesdays. And that's a good thing, Brother Franklin Jones, after this program at 1 o'clock, Monday and Wednesdays. So good to announce that. The program we have here, of course, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Times, and all times are going to give it Eastern Times. Tonight, at 6 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Wahad. And then there's Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays. But also another programming note,
Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank, will be on Saturdays. He'll resume his Saturday program. He had a Saturday program previously. And once again, this Saturday program will feature young students, I believe, out of Howard University. I'm not sure. I got to get the particulars. And I believe the time is at 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern. I believe it's 4 p.m. Eastern. And I'll check with Dr. Rogers to be exact. So when I make this announcement on Wednesdays, I'll be factual on when that's going to start. But Black Reality Think Tank will be on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, because he broadcasts out of the Central time zone now. And then on Saturdays at 3 p.m., at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. And then after Dr. Rogers, then it's time for an awakening. That's right. After Dr. Rogers, it's time for an awakening on Friday at 8 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., that's right. It is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And I'll make that announcement starting on Saturdays. I'm going to clean my paper here that I have announcements on because I have a lot of stuff there that still is not happening. Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's a Warm Valentine show, Monday through Friday, right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from We Buy Black. .com. Please go online and check it out. The products are produced by us. We Buy Black. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba. his website has been changed to reflect the new scheduling. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Please go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Or give Brother Mamani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. The Senegal and Gambia tour has been changed to July 24th through August 3rd of this year, and it's $3,700. The Ghana trip is still in effect at May, next month, May 25th to June 5th. That might be changed, but so far right now. And that's also for $3,700. And then in November 20th to the 30th, the South African tour, November 20th through the 30th, $3,700. And then Ghana, repatriation investment tour, December 24th to January 5th, 2021, also $3,700. But next year, April 2nd to the 12th, this is only $3,500 to Senegal and Gambia. Please go to YouTube if you want to check out videos. Go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. youtube.com/Bomani2007. If you want to see photos, facebook.com/Bomani. And so also to our good brother, Renoko Rashidi, his trip to Uganda and Rwanda, October 5th through the 16th. Brother Renoko's trip, October 5th through the 16th in Uganda. And he has another trip there, $4,200. He has another trip to Kemet, October 22nd through November 4th. Going to Kemet. Check out Renoko. Go to his website. Beautiful pictures. Because of the image that we have, and that's what we're talking about. The disrespect today that Africans globally have been facing, for not just at this time, but period. These beautiful pictures that the brother has posted. So go to Renoko, drrenoko.com. Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habesha.com. Habesha Incorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org to the website, because Habashah is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Some beautiful pictures they're showing here of the programs like Habashah Works, which is a training opportunity in urban agriculture. You know, that's just, man, and all the things that Habashah does, you know, Black to Our Roots, sustainable seeds for the young people learning, and golden growers, folks like me, golden growers. And of course, they have the Kashi Project, which is happening as we speak. And they're still seeking donations and investments into the project. A village in Africa, in Ghana. It is happening. So be a part. Be a part of it, brothers and sisters. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna has been closed for right now. You know, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. But if you give them a call, maybe at 404, they're not open on Mondays or Tuesdays. They open Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7. 404-549-8676 and find out. They're open for the artwork and the furniture and the clothing and so forth. Maybe also, too, you want to get that African history multimedia library, which is now 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. I want to check that out. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore. I'll find out what's going on with Sister, you know, Mama Nia at the Medu Bookstore. See what's happening there. Oh, I tell you, this coronavirus messing up a whole bunch of stuff, ain't it? You know it is. And Brother Gazim Deajamu at the Black Dot. He has been open. He put a new selling coffee, nice, you know, coffee thing there. So he's still trying to hang on. And he told me when I talked to him, boy, it's been tough. I can imagine it's been tough. I can imagine. Yeah. Us Lifting Us.
Being recorded.
Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789 every Thursday night. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, in the spirit of Ujamaa. Akabin Institute, Baba Barudi and Sister Ya Barudi have been doing an outstanding job of educating our young warriors, and we appreciate them, we respect them, we love them for what they do, and I tell you, we need them, so they deserve to be supported. And of course, right now, because of what's happening, with the virus, they've, when I talked to Sister Ya, a number of the students are not participating, and so, but it, to me, for what they do and the value of what they do, it just begs that we just support this, I tell you. Akabin Institute, make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, the dollar sign, YAAM, the letter M, and then Baruti, BARUTI, Akabin Institute. Sister Gabby sent me some more pictures. She is beautiful, man, Sister Gabby Aurelia. She's in the northeastern part of Haiti, in the hills, in the rural area, doing beautiful work. Please go online to sanjay-haiti.org. Look at the pictures of the young children in their uniforms. Look at the health care being provided. Look at the agricultural, sustainable agriculture that is being maintained. The farms they have, the chickens grow, all kinds of good stuff. This deserves to be supported. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I .org. Sanjay-Haiti. the Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enye Sesem. April 12th. A situation of oppression generates a high level of tension and a great deal of frustration, which is generally discharged against substitute targets instead of the real oppressor. Lerone Bennett. In dire emergency medical situations, triage is used when a decision must be made about which person should be saved and which should be allowed to die when the time or resources are not available to save them all. Many times, warriors are repeatedly faced with making similar situations. We often must decide which Africans should be given the attention they need to find their way home, or given our limited time and resources. While those who have no interest in being re-Africanized are immediately removed as possibilities, we usually have to make this decision based on a level of preparedness, intellectual abilities, age, level of maturity, and resources based of the individual, as well as our own experiences, preferences, and qualifications. We have to invest our energy into saving those Africans who exhibit the greatest potential for assisting us in uncompromisingly finding our way home. Affirm, I attend to those Africans most willing to be African. Affirm, I attend to those Africans most willing to be Africans. April 13th. You must not feel guilty for what has been done to us. Only the strong go crazy. The weak just go along. Assata Shakur. Warriors waste an enormous amount of time and energy blaming themselves for what they were before coming into consciousness. We must move beyond self-blame for the condition of our people. We must forgive ourselves for having acted in ignorance for any former complicity with our people's enemy. We must understand that acting under the influence of European culture was beyond our aforementioned, in that our reason then was not African. Who we were was a condition of temporary insanity when we did not know who we were, and therefore we could not be blamed for what we did. That is, unless in our consciousness we do not work to correct the damage and do all in our power to prevent those aspiring to consciousness from continuing to walk alone a similar destructive path. We must find ways to forgive ourselves for what we did when we were not ourselves. Ashe. Affirm, as an African of conscience, I am much more than where I ever was. Affirm, as an African of conscience, I am much more than I ever was. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enye Sesem. I tell you, brothers and sisters, it is a great thing that we try to do here on this program of trying to bring knowledge and information to our people and to do all that we can to strengthen our people. It is not easy. In fact, it is hard. But we will do it. Believe me, we will do it. Came across this. This is exciting. I made those announcements early about additional programming to Time for an Awakening Media. And glad to have Brother Franklin Jones back. And like I said, he'll be on the program Wednesday. We have a good subject to deal with Wednesday. And he'll be back again on Mondays and Wednesdays at following this program. And then Dr. William Rogers, his Tuesday night program will be once again. He used to be on Saturdays as well. On Saturday afternoon. So it's good to have him back and And once again, dealing with the young people and their research. Got a piece that let me see if I find this piece. You're going to love it. I know that you will, because it is a good piece and it's surprising. There's going to be a Khaled is going to be. There's a documentary coming out by PRX. This is a trailer from it. This is a trailer. I'm going to play it. Now, Khaled Abdul Muhammad, who I had an opportunity to meet back when I was working with Brother William Muhammad, the minister in Milwaukee for the Million Man March back in 1995. Me and him were the co-chairs, of course. He, with the nation, me, with the community, and we work very well. I've always worked well together with the Nation of Islam and the brothers and sisters. In fact, I've often said, because of how I feel about many brothers and sisters within the nation, in respect of my good brother Muhammad, Muhammad Abdullah, who is a Muslim, a Sunni Muslim, but I've found more respect with members of the Nation of Islam than I've found with other Muslims, and with the exception of my good brother. Because there's Muslims who believe, you know, that if you're not a Muslim, you ain't shit. Did I say that? Did you hear that? But you know what I mean, you know, and that's the mindset. But you know, and even though there's been some things said about Minister Farrakhan, particularly as related to what Brother Saru said he had put on YouTube, which was pretty damaging. As vulgar as Saru said he is, I got to give credit, it hit home. And when I threw that out there, I got some backlash from some Muslim brothers that I know, you know. But, I mean, hey, he said it. You know, whether or not they're anti-African or not, I'm not going to debate that, but he said it. He said, you know, you want hair that's like on your head, like the hair on your eyebrows, you know, and some of the things. So what Saru said he had done was put out information about what was written by Elijah Muhammad and what was publicly stated by Minister Farrakhan. So there it is. But I still have respect for the nation and for what they have done to our brothers and sisters and for our brothers and sisters and what they have done with the community. Because like I said, firsthand, you know, and it was an honor to work with them. In fact, I was in the final call. That's right. I was sitting in next to Sister Oriomi, and we were at, I'm almost sure it was in Chicago at the Savior's Day, where they were honoring people who worked with the Nation of Islam to help make the Million Man March a success. And it's a pleasure to do so, believe me. But this is Khaled, The Ghost of Khaled, a documentary film by PRX. And so this is the trailer.
Assalamu alaikum. Hotep. Free the land. On the move. Shalom. What's up?
Khalid Abdul Muhammad had finished his speech in Riverside, California, and headed outside to answer questions from the crowd when shots rang out.
Muhammad and three other people were shot. Some scrambled for safety. Others shouting he works for the Jews overpowered the gunman and beat him unconscious. Police then stepped in and dragged the suspect away, while Muhammad's supporters carried him to safety.
The baddest brother I've ever met, Dr. Khaled Muhammad, was the man. Malcolm X times 25. He brought the thunder. He brought the funk. He brought the pain. real, committed, consistent, brilliant, highly educated, fierce, bold, warrior, militant, but loving. He was the greatest.
This is Khalid Muhammad, former national representative of Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. Mr. Muhammad is the man who made so many of the front pages of America's newspapers with a speech at Keen College, which so many people called anti-Semitic and a lot of things.
The so-called Jew Holocaust. And I say so-called Jew because he's not a real Jew. He's a Johnny-come-lately Jew who just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe just a few days ago.
And my college is fearless.
So you're not even a real Jew, buddy.
Recent events surrounding the remarks by one of my ministers, Brother Khalid Abdul Muhammad, spoke at Keen College. Brother Khalid made remarks that were not consistent with the proper representation of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I therefore have dismissed Brother Khalid from his post as minister, representative, and national assistant.
Remember the comment? He picked up the Pope's dress, and let's see what's under that dress.
It's a metaphor. It's symbolic language. I'm not at all interested in what is under the Pope's clothes. I'm not into that.
There.
Let's
but
see
it
what's is a metaphor
there,
to say, let us expose the Pope. Quote, the Catholic Church and the Pope were directly involved in the institution of slavery. They financed slavery and gave the okay that it was good business to sell Africans. Lift up the skirts of his garment so that we can see the shame and reveal what has been hidden. But it has nothing to do with sexuality whatsoever. Well, I'm one of the rebellious slaves. And so when black people stand up out of pain and suffering and frustration, I understand after 500 years.
Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad made his transition to the ancestors.
Black power.
Black power.
Tonight, because I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a live killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck. Gotta be a roughneck. The only way I know to go.
That's Khalid Abdul Muhammad. The documentary is coming out. There's a book. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. The documentary is made by PRX. It's coming out. The documentary is coming out later this year. The book will be out in the summer, I believe by July. And it's definitely something that I'm looking forward to. And maybe try to get Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz on the program again. I had him many years ago. And to see if we can talk about that and other things. That's great. I look forward to that. Khalid was, I tell you, man, Khalid was brilliant. Khalid was brilliant. And, of course, Farrakhan had to give him up. Farrakhan had to give him up if he wanted to have the Million Man March. The so-called powers that be said, if you want to have this and get the permits and other stuff that you need to make this happen, you got to give him up. And, of course, that's what happened. And then Brother Khalid went on to reinvigorate and reestablish the Black Panthers, the new Black Panther Party, coming out of Houston and other chapters. Well, there's one in Milwaukee called the Original Black Panthers. They're saying we ain't We ain't gone nowhere. Brother King Rick, that's my good brother and good friend, started by Brother Commander McGee, Michael McGee, who was a former alderman and classmate. Well, he's older than me. And he now resides, I believe, in North Carolina, I believe. And he started the Black Panthers. And, of course, there's some good footage of him on the Phil Donahue show when this neo-Nazi was saying some derogatory things about our sisters. Brother Mike went over there and punched him in the face. I love it. So, you know, it's uncompromising brothers. I love them. And and King Rick, I don't know if y'all see some of the things that the brother's doing, but the original Black Panthers of Milwaukee, of just making sure that, because, you know, like any other major city, the stores in our community are not ours. They're run by people who are outside of our community, the Arabs, the Iranians, the the Indians, the Koreans, and so forth. And so anytime there's shown some disrespect, those brothers jump to the task. And believe me, I love them and I appreciate them for that, you know, because we need that. Because so many of us are just willing to go along to get along, you know, to be on, you know, uncompromising is the thing that we need. We need strong brothers and sisters, strong leadership, you know. There's some disrespect for African people. I've mentioned it many times about how the world looks at Africa in with such disdain and disrespect, but they want Africa. They want the resources of Africa. They don't want African people. They want to eliminate Africa. Me and Brother Franklin Jones will talk about that Wednesday. We'll talk about Bill Gates and all the other efforts of genocide and that are happening and that are being proposed, particularly in light of this virus. Fauci and his eugenics movement of vaccinations to the point that if you don't get vaccinated, you can't get your driver's license renewed. If you don't get vaccinated, your passport could be suspended. If you don't get vaccinated, if they say no vaccination, I'm leaving. I'm serious. I'm leaving. I'm getting the hell out of here. If they are going to insist upon a vaccination for all the citizens. So we'll talk about that on Wednesday with me and Brother Franklin Jones. And once again, he'll be back on. I'm quite sure you've been waiting for it. Couldn't wait for Brother Franklin Jones to be back, the Black Matrix. You know, but we're going to talk about China, because what's happening in China and what's happening in Africa because of China. China's plan to put 300 million, 300 million Chinese relocated on the continent of Africa. Now, I understand that Africa possibly will have 1 billion people in a few decades. It may have it already, 1 billion people on the continent, let alone the hundreds of millions of us who are in the diaspora. But I'm going to say this and say this unequivocally without fear of contradiction. I am not even stuttering. The only thing that will stop this is African unity. It's the only thing that will stop this disrespect that the world has for African people and the manipulation and what Europeans have done. The only thing. There's nothing else. So we're going to talk about that. Let me take a call as we begin to gear up for this. 404-453-404-453.
Hey, OG, how you doing, my brother?
Hey, it's Wes. How you doing,
yes, sir, man?
How are you?
Hey, I'm still learning, man. I'm good, man. I like the way you add in more subjects to this, man. Okay? And so that increased my thinking. I don't know about nobody else.
Well, let me say it this way. There's every subject that I bring to the table, I bring it from an African perspective, how we should look at it, how we should view it, because there's a myriad of things that happen Not all mm-hmm. bad. There's some good things, too, that I bring, you know. I'm yes, not sir. All doom
and gloom. But I want to make this right here, man.
Sure, go ahead, Wes.
About the Chinese in Africa. It's a video that saw it in China. They kicking out some Africans out of their hotels and out of their apartments, and they walking down the street with all their stuff. You saw that?
Saw it. Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, sir. I wanted to make sure.
Yes, sir.
And so if not, I was going to send it to you.
But I'm send it to me again, it, man.
That
means
we in synchronization. So what you think about that? My perspective here, them Africans need to kick them down Chinamans out of Africa, man.
Well, hey, it's tit for tat. Well, what's happening now because of that, there are some Chinese that are being attacked in various countries because of that. You know, some young folks are pissed that has happened. And not only that, we treated Chinese with great respect, and they had a lot of latitude in Africa. Number one, they were doing work. But even the work that they were doing, Wes, whatever they were building, whatever work they were doing, they never used any indigenous people. They never used any Africans on the projects. It was always Chinese exclusively. And the Chinese laborers, particularly, were prisoners. They get the prisoners, and they send them along with the engineering crew to a particular country, whatever they're building, and that's who does the labor. When I was in Bahamas, it's quite a while ago now, the black firefighters, we had a convention in the Bahamas about 5 years ago, maybe a little bit more, whatever. And I read about the Chinese had a project in Nassau, and they were boycotting the project because of the management. Really, it wasn't the laborers, the management, because of lack of pay or whatever the issues were. So there was a boycott. The project was not happening. So when I went there, the project was not too far from the resort where the black firefighters, where we had our convention at. And I passed by it many times. And it's huge. It was huge. It was on a par to something in Las that you would see in Las Vegas. It was huge. And near where I was staying was an area where there was a bunch of trailers. These trailers is where the Chinese prisoners, who were the laborers on the project, would stay. Because it was the reason for the boycott was not them. They have no say. The reason for the boycott was the management, you know. And the managing people, the engineers and so forth, were an issue with the Chinese government. And I'm quite sure that was rectified and the thing has been built and so forth and so on. But, you know, the point is that that's what the Chinese do. That's what they did in Ghana when they built that road in the northern part of Ghana in Tamale, from Tamale in the northern region to Moli Park. I went there many years ago. The road was terrible. I mean, really bad, you know, and then went there last year. The road was good. It's paved all the way from Tamale to Moli Park. But what was also interesting, they also built another resort for the Chinese. You could see it on a higher hill. You know, the hill where the resort is, you can look down and there's some water there. And you can see animals, you know, going to the water to drink, see some gazelles, see all elephant. You know, and so, you know, what they're doing is just like when I was on this one highway, the highway's nice and the sign was up. This was built by the Chinese, and near that highway is the China Mall. The China Mall, the sign is there. It's not complete yet, but believe me, it's happening. So that's Ghana. But there's also other parts, other countries.
And then I heard in South Africa. The Chinese was over there, had a Chinese restaurant, and they wouldn't let no Africans come in their restaurant.
Right. And so,
These folks,
I know.
I'm sick of them too, man.
I know. What was interesting when I was there in Ghana, I think the second time or the first time, met with the general who was in charge of the fire department, wanted to do some things with the Ghanaian Fire Service. And believe me, we're always trying to, me and my good friend, Brother Jim Wimbush, we're always trying to do something. And so we had dinner. And we had dinner at a Chinese restaurant. Yeah, dinner at a
and
Chinese.
Your father was serving dog and cat, man. Yeah, it's hey, a nasty filth. They eat anything that's on the face of the earth, man.
Yeah, they eat bats.
Dog, cat, bat, dog,
well,
man.
Well, you know, I would think that some of the things that they are eating were like farm raised. They're not, you know, going out into a community picking up a rat that has been feasting off garbage and so forth. It's just like the squirrels. You know, I wouldn't eat it, but people eat squirrels, right? But they're eating squirrels and other animals that are in a natural habitat. They're out in the woods or out in the forest where they're eating different. They're not eating that are eating garbage. I would hope.
You know, they eat dogs, because, domesticated, you know, dogs, man.
Right, I know.
Get out of them Chinese restaurant, man. I'm telling all my people, don't even go to their restaurant. Don't even support them, man.
Well, I tell you.
That's what killed me by my sisters in there getting their nails done.
Well, those are Koreans.
Crap, man.
Those are mostly Koreans. But, you know, some may argue the same thing. But the thing is this, is that this disrespect must stop. And the only way to stop it is when Africans unify. It will only
Thank
stop.
You, man.
It will not stop until Africans unify.
Check this out. The first emperor of China was black, man. Emperor Wu. That was all us. We were the first people on the planet, man.
Yeah. Wes, your research has proven correct. We are the first people on the planet. In fact, when you dig deep, and the more you dig deep, the African reality becomes manifest. The deeper,
Europe, man. Yeah. The first kings and queens were black, too. Oh, in Europe.
Yeah. But see, even though that all those things may be true, we like to deal with the reality of today. The reality
yes,
of today.
I agree.
And so the reality of today, that's why I'm saying that even though we've been here for over 400 years and we make claims, this, that, and other, this will never be ours. We can never live in this environment with Caucasians who are open and sworn enemy.
Another point is, I don't know if I sent it to you, but I sent you a century of all the plagues going back to B.C.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I got that. The plagues, yeah, sure. Sure, I got that, yeah. Yeah, I got that, thank you.
See, me, I always know, when I got a problem, I always go back to the beginning, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. And that way we can solve some of the problems we got now. When you see what the problem was back then and how those people dealt with it, and we might have a different perspective on dealing with stuff now.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I do. I use critical thinking, man.
All right, Wes. Well, listen, you hold on.
Problem always go back to the beginning.
That's
man.
Right. That's right. There's Work a source. Out. There's a source. I agree with you. Hold on, Wes. We're going to get you back in. I'm going to give some more callers. Okay, brother? Appreciate
yes,
you. Thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
Okay. 646-646. Good morning.
This I did odios. What's going on, brother?
What's happening? How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you doing, brother Ochi?
I'm doing
feeling
well.
Feeling all right?
I'm feeling. Hey, man, I'm gonna tell you. I feel fine. I'm staying quarantined. And if I do go out, I'm wearing a mask. I can't get it, Jay. I can't get this, man. Because if I get it, man, I feel it. I might just be going down fast. So I can't get it.
I hear you, brother. I feel the same way. I see you got your boy Research West.
That's right, man.
You know what I mean? What's going on, Research?
West is to it.
Yeah, my brother. Man, you know, I tell you this, it was good to hear Brother Khalid this morning. You know,
yeah.
Khalid was a warrior, and not only that, a beautiful brother inside and out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Khalid had a serious, serious shine about him, man.
Yeah, he
and,
did. He had a charisma.
Know, all you can do, all you can do is just be thankful that you had the opportunity in life to have met that brother and to be around that brother. Because I know I truly always enjoyed the time that I had to talk with the brother and to see the brother and to know that he was fighting for us. Now listen here. We as African people on the continent have a real serious problem facing us in regards to this relationship with the Chinese, because it has shown that the Chinese have no damn respect for us.
Right. Right.
The way that they come into the country and go about their business is something that these African leaders really need to look upon, because they will overtake Africa just the way the white man has.
Even more so, and, even deeper.
Because
see, what they're talking about, see, the Caucasian didn't want to live in Africa. The Caucasian didn't want to even live in this area. Okay, the Caucasian wanted to live in Europe, where he was from. But of course, because the Caucasians could not live the way they wanted to live in Europe because of the modes of governance, they came here and took this. But in Africa, they just wanted, first, they, you know, took the bodies out of Africa and brought them to Europe and brought them to the Caribbean and brought them to America to work them suckers to death. And then they looked at the resources of Africa. They colonized Africa simply for the resources. They didn't build in a way that was with the environment. They didn't think about sewage systems and so forth, a good infrastructure. They didn't give a damn. They just went, how can we get this stuff out of here? You know, how can we get the resources out of here and get them to areas where we can manufacture them? Get them to, just like, you know, when I'm sitting in that cocoa farm, man, they call it a plantation. I don't use the word plantation because you know what that conjures up. But I'm sitting there, man, and I'm saying to myself, all of this, we don't produce nothing. It comes from here raw, and it goes to Europe. Just this past yesterday, all those chocolate bunnies and all those chocolate eggs and all that, Cadbury's, Nestle's, Hershey's, you name it, Dove, all of them, all of the root of it is coming out of Africa and the billions of dollars. See, so Jay, I understand what you're saying.
They don't even get a percentage of it.
No.
When I went to Africa, it was based on some people that I had met that came to America to open up a Nestle's factory that had closed to produce cocoa. And I don't know what happened with the deal. I don't know if they opened up the factory or not. Mm-hmm. I think they may have. But the point is, Africans have very little, if any, control, nor do they profit off of cocoa. I mean, it's incredible. Yeah. I think the Europeans own something like 90% or maybe more. All I know is Africans don't, you know, get what they deserve for the growth of cocoa, because every place doesn't sell cocoa.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like coffee beans and things of that nature.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna tell you. The only coffee I drink is coming out of Cameroon Boyle. It is. To me, because I drink coffee black, I like my coffee like I like my women, bitter. No, I love my coffee black, and I love black women. But anyway,
and don't, like Malcolm said, don't want no
sugar, no cream,
no sugar.
That's right.
No nothing. Just give me straight up black. I so agree with you. Yeah. But the thing is, as far as these Chinese go, we gonna have to set some sort of rules. Well, in regards to dealing with them.
Well, see, that can only happen, Jay, unified, because when we're so fragmented, they cut deals with despots, they cut deals with neocolonialists, they cut deals with real, real Negroes, see, and to the detriment of their people. Their pockets get fat, and then the government can't repay for the project. And then they take the project. See, but I'm not going to take a break, Jay. You stay with me, man, okay? Because I'm going to come back on the other side, and I'm going to talk about some things that I've seen dealing with this Chinese situation. Just like Brother West said, I've seen that when they're kicking those brothers and sisters out. But I saw things earlier than that. I saw this time where the Chinese busted into these folks' apartment and just slapping around these students. Just slapping,
where are they kicking them out of? Where are they kicking them out of? China or Africa?
China.
China. Okay, yeah. Because it ain't nowhere in hell they're supposed to be able to kick them out of Africa, but, even though I know they've been allowed to set up police situations.
Exactly. Because once they have taken a project, they bring in a force to secure it. On our continent, on our land, they bring up a force. Once again, let me go through this break and I'll get back on the other side and we'll talk more about this. All right. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Broken glass everywhere. People on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far. Cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance to tango, skipped the life and dango. A zircon princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pitch, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much. It's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job. There's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back. Can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane. I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me. Calm, I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool. And all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie, and run with the creeps. Because it's all about money, ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They pushed that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on again. Stabbed that man right in his heart. Gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song, because he hates the places you play and where you stay. Looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers. Driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say, I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like cowboy, man.
What's up,
yo, what's up, money?
Yo.
Hey, where's Creole and Raheem, man?
Lay upstairs cooling out.
So what's up for the night, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to the field, man.
Let's go check out June, bro.
Hey, yo, you know that girl Betty?
Yeah, man.
My mom's got balls, man.
Not what?
Again, she got hurt.
What is happening?
What is happening? Don't nobody move nothing. Y'all know what this is. Get him up.
What?
Get him up.
Yo, man, we down with Grand Master Flash and the Fury.
That's the problem. Is that a gang?
No.
Shut up. I don't hear you now.
Get up.
It's the Messenger Group X-Clan. Here's the nine. The movement Black Watch. And when we are not outraged about the oppression upon the black existence, we step to you in blackness. By the way,
exist in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother, Sissy.
Let us the words, word to phrase, the paragraph. Heed math as Jay begins class. The triumphs of past is now brought to the rhyme fix. On the scroll, straight to the verse. God to God, from God to man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist from a hand. They call me militant, now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun to make the army scene? With a cause I never pause, that simply is the brother. Raise the flag, wave the colors. Red, black, green with the key, the difference. Words make a way in the world in an instant. Living to die and I die to live again. 360 degrees. Comprehend. A man getting stronger till he's man no longer. Unearthly state makes the time seem shorter. The ever radiant awareness born forth the one. Open eye, stroke shun. Practicing priests, standing by what I teach. So you all stand starving as I start to unleash. Words of God. Brought from the Genesis, will exist till Armageddon is a witness. The originals built the earth. One must it be aggression to learn a basic lesson? Quite majestic, stern within reality. A juggernaut when you tamper with mentality. I wear a crown, extension and dimension of a brain cell, bringing hell to the sellouts. The ever tangled web we weave, always trying to obtain, no attempt to achieve. Descendants of kings and queens act like justice, never potential, caught up with the measure. Jealousy of what are we becomes tendency for their thievery. All right, cool, but no need to pull the trigger, that's a fool. I get my words like that in my stool to produce the words that they fool about. It's another way of taking out these sissies who may try to extinct my principality. But of course they're not having me. Madness. From beginning, I'm the end. Observe me. Ignorance is not a trend. So as I beckon for a few seconds, pull the reins and hear the words of the brother. Mastering words on the verse. Funk is a force I exert. Egyptian, African, now I'm on a black watch. Check my sundial, synchronize the clock. I can catch a shadow as the moon reflects the sun. Creator's eyes make a path of brother one. So now I walk softly and carry a big stick, a verb stick, so you native swing a lick. Jay brings the funk and spreads jam to the wheat bread. And the funk of this one vanglorious, unearthly resistance, strong with persistence, grand verbal allocations, tribal connection, pyramids, witness the funk bearer, vibe sharer, not the era. Brother is balanced like the scales of Thor. And neither my demand makes stones seem soft. Corrupts all systems, positive poison of me. Some call it onk, it's a key. Black is a color while blackness, state of a mind state. But how many of you fake? Today, Brother J can find a better way, so be it. Plan it down and make it stay, I serve a purpose. Yet I'm not the G.I. Joe, I am the brother. Yo, I can never swear a person. Just hasten your step to the mic and stage area as I drop the science that breaks the clock barrier. Words of old make me more than a beginner. The key opens knowledge and places an antenna. Americana man, Africana brother. Don't forget the land, cause the birth is from the mother. A vibe is in place, obtained and discovered. Tune in your audio and hear the words of brother.
Yo, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, step on.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Message, to me, one of the baddest rap songs of all time. And then, of course, X-Clan, heed the words of the brother. I felt since this disrespect we have, and that's the kind of music we need to be hearing, you know, pump us up, man, because we got to stop this disrespect. But believe me, the only way it will stop is we unify. Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. You know what the mantra of this program is. Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. You know what this program does. It preaches independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. There is no other subject. Well, the program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays, Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Wahad, followed later by Conversations Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. 8 to 10 Eastern, you know. So give Eastern times, you make the adjustments. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Friday. Oh, yes, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Friday and 8 p.m. on Sunday. This Wednesday on this program, the Black People Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones. And of course, he's coming back to Time for an Awakening Media, as well as Dr. Rogers will be back on Saturdays. So once again, Time for an Awakening. The number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, I caught this on Face-to-Face Africa and the Chinese saying, you know, no, we are brothers. You know, they are denying evictions. They're denying, but they're showing, just like Brother West said, I saw that, the video. They're showing pictures of brothers just milling around and just nowhere to go, sleeping out in the community. Yeah, they have nowhere to go. China has denied claims hundreds of African residents and businessmen were being evicted from hotels and apartments from its cities for allegedly contracting the deadly coronavirus, COVID-19. The Africans say they are just being targeted under the disguise of a testing campaign for the global pandemic, also known as COVID-19. Some of them allegedly that they have been placed under forced quarantine without being told about the results of their test. The Africans, who are based in China's southern city, have described the development as discriminatory. They're accusing us of having the virus, a Nigerian student said. Said that to the BBC. But in a statement, China's foreign minister denied the claim, saying, we do not have discrimination in China against African brothers. China and Africans are good friends, partners, and brothers. Our friendship is forged on the basis of joint efforts to seek national independence, liberation, economic development, and better living livelihood in these past decades. Such time-tested friendship is a treasure for both Chinese and Africans. humanity shines throughout the darkness of the epidemic. After the Ebola epidemic broke out in three West African countries in 2014, the Chinese government provided assistance at the earliest times possible and fought side by side with African countries and people. Now, with COVID-19 pandemic, China and Africa are again tiding over difficulties hand in hand, with our friendship is at an again elevated. We will not forget the support from Africa during our most difficult times. While our coming difficulties at home, we also give love and care to all African citizens in China, especially African students. Accusing the United States of contradicting Africans in China to make up the xenophobic claims, said Chinese African friendship is unbreakable and is deeply rooted in this land. He assured that the government authorities attack great emphasis and importance to make African countries concerned and are working promptly to improve their working methods. Africa has recorded 14,000 COVID-19 cases, of which 2,500 have recovered, with 700 deaths as of today, according to African CDC. You know, I've seen what I've seen, you know, and that's the reality of it. 602-602, good afternoon. Hey, Marcus, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great, good brother.
Good.
Great. You know, there's a saying that says the African has no friend outside of the race.
That's right.
And very few friends within.
That's so right.
We have to begin to clean house. We have to begin to clean house. Because China wouldn't be able to do that, what they're doing, unless they have complicit Africans on the continent who are sitting there on their hands and watching this foolishness take place. They even have Confucius schools now in Africa.
Right.
Teaching about Confucius. What the hell we want to hear about Confucius? We want to hear about Garvey and Carlos Cooks. That's what we want to hear about.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, Africa is the prize. It's not America. It's not Jamaica. It's not Haiti. It's Africa. And if we don't save Africa as a people, we are finished.
That's right.
I am telling you, we are finished. And some of them Negroes in Africa, they got to go. I see the foreign minister of the Congo, when they said, the French said they're going to test COVID-19 vaccine in Africa. And even the French come out and say, you know what, we apologize.
Right.
That Negro said, oh no, you could come and vaccinate our people. No, a Negro like that shouldn't be living today. And Negro, we have to make an example out of these Negroes who do foolishness like that. Because, as I said, it is the complicity of our people, of some of the leadership in Africa, why this foolishness is taking place. See? And the black man in the West must, I repeat, must save Africa. Must rise up and save Africa. Because we are the fighters. We are. Because some of them Negroes, what the hell they're doing? You see? They are behind. We have to remember, you know, our people on the continent are 100 years behind us psychologically, you know. We have to remember that. We are ahead of our people on the continent psychologically. And we have to save. We have to save Africa. We have no choice. Sure. We have no choice. We cannot depend on these people. See what I'm saying? It's going to be African, pan-Africanism have to sweep Africa east, north, west, and south. And we have to agitate our people to that stand. If we don't, we could chalk it up. I'm telling you. Telling you, brother. When I see what them people doing in China to black people, and we sitting in Africa twiddling our thumbs, wondering what to do, there should be an immediate response.
That's right.
Chinese shouldn't be able to come into Africa and set up no damn business. We should be our business. You want to do business with us, you bring it to the port, we sell it. They allow these people to come in. It's because they're getting paid off. The leadership in Africa is getting paid off. They're selling out their people.
And see, and then not only that, to me, if anybody has a project in Africa, there should be at least some African labor involved. There should be some brothers and sisters who are working on those projects in various forms, not just in a labor sense of carrying a bucket of sand or carrying some wood or metal, whatever, but in the management of it and every phase of it. This is ridiculous.
They did that in Jamaica. They didn't even use Jamaican engineers. They use Chinese engineers. And when the Jamaican engineers tell me, look, it's going to cause a problem here with flooding. It's going to cause a problem. Oh, don't forget about it, you know. So, as I said, you know, because somebody giving you something, giving you a crumb, you're going to say, oh, yeah, you could do anything. No, this foolishness has to stop.
Has to stop.
And we have to stop it.
That's right. This disrespect has to stop.
Has to stop, my brother. And,
thank
you.
Know, you.
They have to get out of Africa.
That's
everybody.
Right.
If you ain't Africa, get your... go somewhere else. That's where it's going to take. I'm sure it's going. And look, let me mute my phone and continue.
All right, brother Marcus. Stay, hang with me. All right. The diaspora, the African Diaspora Development Institute, and you've seen a sister Akinyanya, beautiful sister. She was talking about the colonialism that still persists on the continent. She is, I think she is, don't get me to saying it because I may be wrong. So, but her and her husband, he's also a doctor, but she's beautiful, beautiful sister, and she came strong. I was so impressed. Hope to one day get her on the program. My friend Esmira H., who was on the program a few weeks ago, she's very well aware. They've worked together. So I'm working in that end. I did contact them to see if they would be able to come on the program, but would love to do that. But they had an open letter, the African Diaspora Development Institute and the ADDI, and it's dated yesterday, you know, to His Excellency Jinping, President of the People's Republic of China, from the African diaspora around the globe. Human rights violations and inhumane treatment of African people living in China. Your Excellency, the African Diaspora Development is the umbrella organization of over 210 million people living in the diaspora. For centuries, Africa has warmly and open-heartedly welcomed Chinese nationals into her shores, allowing them to settle, marry, and prosper without a hint of racial discrimination, bigotry, harassment, or intimidation. The former chairperson of the African Union between 2008 and 2012, Mr. Jinping, was the child of a Chinese diasporan from Wenzhou who came to Gabon as a timber harvester. Currently, there are over 10 million Chinese nationals living in Africa and are being treated with dignity and respect that any human being deserves. It is against this backdrop that over 1.3 billion Africans on the continent and 240 million Africans in the diaspora unite in horror as we watch our brothers and sisters, sons and daughters being dragged like wild animals into the street by Chinese authorities. Many have been kicked out of their homes and hotels and are subject to insults and extreme inhumane treatments. These are serious violations of rights which we, African people, are not going to stand by and tolerate. Africans are being accused of bringing COVID-19, the killer disease, to China. And the world knows very well that COVID-19 began in Wuhan, People's Republic of China, not Africa. In 2018, we, the Africans, watched in silence as we were depicted as monkeys in lavish four-hour Lunar New Year show, the New Year's Day show, that was televised to millions across China. We have also received numerous reports of African nationals being mistreated, slapped, kicked, spat upon in the streets of racist Chinese nationals for absolutely no reason. On the continent, Chinese nationals have been captured on video. This is true. This is me now because I've seen it. So this is not the, what's happened, this is not new. They've been doing this even on the continent and definitely in China. I saw where the Chinese nationals went into these apartments and kicked these brothers and sisters out about a year or so ago. On the continent, Chinese nationals have been captured on video, beating and mistreating their employees, as well as insulting an African president, A.E., President Oruro. These troubling events are taking place in the backdrop of your government's plan to send over 300 million Your government's plan to send over 300 million Chinese to Africa by the year 2030. Your Excellency, how exactly do you think this is going to work? Africans have endured centuries of inhumane treatment, abuse, racial and social economic discrimination. This legacy of abuse is so blatant that for the past 3 months, our African brothers, the Director General of the World Health Organization, Dr. Theodore's, has endured racist insults and even death threats from some other nations in Asia. Dr. Theodore's condemned these insults as artifacts of a colonial mentality leveled against the whole of African culture. The United Nations is the international watchdog for all human rights abuses around the world and has a permanent member of the UN Security Council. China should be the last country to violate these human rights. The inhumane actions against Africans taking place in the People's Republic of China is deplorable, unlawful, and criminal. The international human rights norms and conventions and have the potential of precipitating reprisals against Chinese nationals on the African continent. And that's happening. Some Chinese have been getting their ass whooped on the continent. Such barbaric, unprecedented attacks against Africans will definitely erode the friendly diplomatic relationships that the East, especially the People's Republic of China, enjoys with all the African countries. While recognizing that the majority of your citizens are good people, a few among them are bad apples whose behavior should not tarnish the good relations that China has held with African countries. Your Excellency, we know that there are good reasons and you would not tolerate harassment, intimidation, inhumane treatment of Chinese diasporans living in other parts of the world. We know that you would demand that your brothers and sisters be treated in a manner that is right, just, and fair at all times. Your Excellency, in this same spirit, we urge you in the strongest of terms to put an immediate end to this harassment, intimidation, and inhumane treatment meted against African brothers and sisters, sons and daughters living in your country. Please accept this letter in the spirit for which it was written. Sincerely, African Diaspora Development Institute, on behalf of the African diaspora all over the globe. Ashe. In fact, like I said, I think the most, Sister Queen? Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, dear.
Afternoon, family.
Good afternoon, Queen. Queen Ali.
I wasn't, thank you. I wasn't going to speak, but now I'm angry. I'm mad. This lie perpetrated by these Orientals. We brothers, we love you. We only want the best for you. What one home have they built for anyone African? It's the same lie perpetrated over and over and over and over again on us, the innocent, unassuming, humane people of Africa. The problem, one of the problems is the Bolé, the elite, the government, who has sold Africa out once again for short-term economic gain, while selling off the country and giving off the people's inheritance and not giving one damn about the people, just themselves. These Orientals have disrespected Africans since we first met them. They do it here. So why are we surprised that they won't do it in their own domain or even in our domain? The resources and efforts that they sent so-called under the guise of helping Africans is only to help themselves. Oriental Chinese people care for no one but themselves, never have, and they never will. To go back to the Richard Nixon era when he went over and trade started from here with the Chinese, it goes back that far. We know that the Orientals have killed our brothers and sisters, beat our brothers and sisters, disrespected us at every turn right here in these Americas since they have been here. So it is of no surprise. That letter sent, with all due respect, I love them, but he probably tore it up and threw it in the trash. Because that's his, yes. Yeah. Why are we expecting anything else
right.
from anyone else? I see that the African leadership, except for those in the past, maybe, this is just what I see, maybe have no idea of economic, real economic development in which they own and not just for sale in our own homeland. They allow anyone to come in, take ownership of a project, ownership just for a few dollars. My next question is, what are these Africans doing in China any damn way? What? Except for the Oriental to steal their intelligent input. That's the only reason why they have them there. What are they doing there anyhow? Thank you, Brother Oshie.
Okay, sister. Thank you, Queen. You know, Africans are in other places for the education. I would hope that the reason they are there to gain the knowledge to come back to help the country, to help the continent. That is my hope and prayer. That's why they're in China. That's why they're in Europe. That's why they're here in the United States and wherever, is to gain knowledge and to come back to make the continent of Africa strong and a world player. That's my contention. That's my hope. That's my prayer. Of course, I'm not naive. I'm not ignorant. I know what time it is. But to me, the most important thing in this juncture is what you're seeing going on here right now, is that Africa must unite. The United African States must become a reality much sooner than later. The United African States must come into existence and must speak on any issue. And to me, the delegation must be developed and to say to the continent of Africa and every country in it, even the northern countries, either you are going to be with us in this unifying effort or your ass is out. And I'm talking about physically out. You are not going to stay on the continent. We're reclaiming it for the good of African people and ultimately of mankind. Brother Wes.
Yes, sir. Hey, I agree with all the callers, man, particularly my brother Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
I had that conversation with some Jamaicans, man. Only job I was on, we got to talking. They say, I'm from Jamaica. I say, look, bro, I'm like Marcus Garvey, man. We got to go with the least common denominator, bro. We black. This old island stuff separation ain't going to cut it. And plus, you look at the Chinese, how they treat their own people. So you know if they treat their own people like garbage, they don't care about nobody else.
Yeah.
Well, look But look at here, Ocean, about this virus thing, right? Remember a couple of weeks ago, black people talking about, we don't get it, we don't get it. Remember that?
Yep.
Okay, so the media and the white folks heard it. So what they did, they start cooking the numbers up, cooking the books up, and they're using the playbook of Hitler, okay, saying that we the number one carriers of this mysterious virus. See, they doing the playbook of Hitler, like demonizing us, saying we the main carriers of this virus. This thing could get ugly for us over here, man. The same way the Chinese did it to the Africans over there. Or China, this could get ugly for us over here by demonizing us and talking about we the main carriers of this fake disease, okay? To try to really exterminate us. That's why all my brother X that called all these shows, I'm getting to agree with him. They're setting us up, and they ain't going to try to make us take this shot. Round all these blacks up, say, y'all got it. Either, like you say, either take that shot or you can't do nothing. So this thing can get ugly for us. They always using us to make us the villain and the crash that dummy for the evil, wicked system, man. So that's why I studied what the enemy be doing and what has happened in history, like Malcolm said. Okay, success comes to the one that do the research.
That's right.
So you can figure out a pattern. The enemy always got a pattern, man. So I'm like Mr. Neely Fuller. I'm going to be a glitch in their matrix to try to upset their pattern and let our people know what their pattern is. And therefore, I can almost get an algorithm and see what they're getting ready to do.
Okay. Okay.
Using their
own
algorithm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
But well, anyway, I let somebody else talk, man. I appreciate that, bro. But it's all the art of war.
You take
what the enemy gives you and you use it to your benefit.
Right. To your advantage. I got you.
There it is, bro. That's how we do.
I say. Okay. All right, 646.
Adios.
Yes, sir.
Did I hear you earlier say that the illustrious, the quick-minded, the brother who has information like no other, Franklin Jones, is coming back home?
That's right.
On Wednesday?
That's right, man.
Hey, all I need to know is one thing. Will this be a one-time thing or a regular thing on Wednesday?
This Wednesday, it'll be probably a one-time thing, but he's going to be back. He's going to be back on Time for an Awakening, I believe, and I want to get that straight. I heard it last night from Elliot, so I'm hoping that it is true because he mentioned it on the air last night at the end of the program. So,
well, if all of the work that I know your brother has done to improve his presentation in regards to being a radio talk show host, I look forward to him coming back with a fine-tuned message, a much more precise message, and a less of a rhetorical message that will feed the people. So I think good things are ahead because, you know, it's rare in this type of business, as they say, you get a second chance. So let's take our hat off to Franklin Jones and let's look forward to Franklin Jones coming back and doing what he was meant to do, as he say, teach and educate the people.
I said.
Now, In regards to this situation with the Chinese, first of all, we as African people have to stop looking for others to assist us in our growth and development. We are the owners of the richest continent on the planet. We are the ones who have everything that the peckerwood needs for his survival. We just got to man up and be willing to die to protect it and to control it. Until we get to that point, we just going to be in this same situation of constant disrespect. And that's real talk. Until you are willing to die and control the resources of your land, then you're just going to go through disrespect constantly. Because why should I respect you
if I could take whatever I want from you. I mean, that's just a reality. For some reason, we don't want to accept or we don't want to face. And it has come to that point. The African continent should honestly be shut down to all foreigners.
I agree. We need to close shop. Yeah.
And do what we have to do.
Yeah.
You know, I always say, whatever you want to think about the Chinese people, when they started their revolution, what did they do?
They closed it down.
They shut down everything.
They closed it down.
They handled their business.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So we as a people, if we're not going to do that, then we're going to just be in the same situation 10, 20, 30, 100, thousands of years from now. The reality is, it's a tough pill to swallow. But like Dr. Clark said a long time ago, we have no friends. And these people are just basically showing it. Here it is. They're coming to your country. They're taking over your land. They're taking over your women. They're doing everything that they wish to do to incorporate themselves in the permanent position in your country. And that's a damn shame.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to be just like everyone else. They're going to have control. The sad thing is, and this is something that even America, it hasn't shown fast. We allow mulattoes into our society, and the bastards don't do nothing. But you allow a mulatto into a nation and another country, and they'll take over sugar, honey, iced tea. Look at it. Think about the nature and the position that mulatto is going to have in Africa, because he's going to be able to claim a birthright.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, no doubt. I understand clearly what you're saying, and I see that being very problematic.
That's what they're doing.
Because that's one thing, and I know listening to Dr. Clark one time, he said he wanted to write a book about the bastard in our history and the role of the bastard in our history, you know, being the mulatto. And saying
the bastard is dangerous.
Very.
The bastard is the most dangerous thing on the planet, because unfortunately the bastard could go two ways. But if you notice, the bastard never takes the side of an African.
That's right.
And if he does, it's a rarity.
Yeah. Because some have, let's be real.
It's special. Yeah.
Yeah, some
name
have.
Name me a bastard. Seriously. Ask yourself this. Can you name five bastards in the end who worked for the liberation of African people? I can't think of right now five bastards that did that.
I mean,
I really would like to.
I mean, I think there were some courageous brothers and sisters who even looked Caucasian, like Adam Clayton Powell, you know, but who fought for us and who been steadfast. You know, at least they weren't African-centered, but at least they understood the importance of being, having the rights that they should have, like Alina Horn, you know, some other sisters that looked more Caucasian. Hey, Freddie Washington, back in the old days of cinema, Freddie Washington. Now, Freddie Washington looked Caucasian for real. If you remember the pictures of Oscar Michal and the pictures that came later, you know, the quote race pictures, movies, you know, and she never tried to pass, you know. So, I mean, there are some there, but once again, they're few, and the vast majority were not African-centered, you know.
Well, we just experienced one of the most dangerous of all time. Puff the Magic Negro Obama.
Right.
I mean, he's going to wreak havoc in what, you know, a bastard has been able to do for years to come. That was a wicked bastard. I just received word, Brother Oshie, that the great Franklin Jones return will be on the 27th. I don't know what day that is, But the great return.
It's a Monday.
The 27th, and I know
it's a Monday.
Talk more about it on Wednesday. I'm looking forward to knowing, like I said, that the brother's gonna be back better than ever. Hopefully.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I'm
glad again.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. He's gonna. I mean,
let me ask you this: in your estimation, what do you really think we as African people need to do in regards to our relationship with the Chinese in Africa and in China? What should be the solution to this problem with it seeing this evil associate? That's how I would say it, an evil associate.
I think once again, and I can't reiterate enough to the point of true redundancy, is that we need to unify. And so by unifying, all other things are non and void. Now you come to us as a unified front of what you want to do and what you need, and then we'll see what we can do to make those things happen, and everything will be straight up and above board. There will be a level of respect for you, and there definitely will be a level of respect for us because of what we have and what we can bring. And also, too, as I stated earlier, if you want to build a project in Africa, you just cannot do it exclusively. When you come to build a project in Africa, whatever that might be, there's African labor, there's African management, there's African input into that particular project. No longer will you do anything exclusively, and then if it's not paid, you take it over. And you build a defense force to make sure you secure it on our continent. There is nowhere, listeners, there is nowhere on this continent, excuse me, on this earth, where Africans have gone and claimed something and made it exclusive for themselves. Nowhere, no country, nowhere. But people have done it to us, even to this day. Even to this day, in South Africa, there are still communities that are solely run by Caucasians, and they have a security force to protect them. They are sovereign. They are sovereign in that area, and they will fight tooth, damn, and nail. But see, my contention is, take your ass back to Germany, take your ass back to Holland or the Netherlands, back to Europe. Get out. Everybody, I agree with you, Jay. We need to say we're doing this. We're stating our independence, and we are closing off Africa for at least 10 years so we can get our house in order. We can get our house in order. You know, when me and Franklin talk Wednesday, we're going to talk about the devastation of Africa and the plan to depopulate Africa by Bill and Melinda Gates, the CDC, Fauci, the eugenics movement. We'll talk about these things on Wednesday, you know, because that's what's going to happen. That is what is being planned, you know. So,
I mean, Linda Gates and her husband, you know, people praise and look up to them, but them some evil people, man.
Yes. And
them
see,
evil people who have hurt a lot of people around the world with their agenda. And you know, the truth of the matter is, they need to be stopped, because when it's all said and done, They're gonna destroy a lot of people, man.
Well, that's their intent. Their intent is to right, but that's their intent is to depopulate the earth. I'm gonna get another caller here, Marcus, are you still with me?
Yes, brother.
Yes.
You know, I would advise. I like what our brother West said. You see, they're trying to demonize us now to make us the face of Corona. I would advise every black person in America, get a gun and some ammunition.
Yeah.
And prepare to defend yourself.
Well, you know,
that's where it's going to come to.
Well, that's what's happening. Once this situation started to take hold, many Caucasians, made a mad rush on buying weaponry and ammunition to the point of depletion. There are some places you can't buy. They don't have any. It's just like the grocery store shelves. You know, they're empty. Ammunition is hard to get, you know? Yes. So that's what's
food
happening.
Food is hard to get. Yeah. Food is hard to get. We're finding it hard to find toilet paper.
Yeah, man. Amen. I went to three places. I went to three places to get some liquid hand soap. Couldn't get any. There was none. Three places. Man, I tell you.
Can't find a toilet paper, was she?
Yeah.
But, you know,
I hear you.
If don't get us together, I don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, brother, I'm glad to hear brother Franklin Jones is back.
Good. Right on. You know, right on. All right, Brother Marcus. Thank you. 447. Good afternoon.
Good morning. Good afternoon to Brother Ochi and all the listeners and all the contributors. Brother Ochi, can I make a small request? If you don't mind, can I give out my email address?
Sure you can. Connect those dots, brother.
Yeah, it's I would like, if possible, for Brother Wes to contact me on this email address. And also, if possible, if Brother X is still listening, if he hasn't run to the hills or the forest and locked himself away, he could... I would love him to contact me. The email address is connectthedots, that's CONNECT, the THE, DOTS, at gmail.com. I'll repeat, connectthedots, CONNECT, THE, the dots, DOTS, at gmail.com. Thank you for that. Brother Ochi.
Oh, you most definitely, brother. Most definitely.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. It's a serious time, Brother Ochi. It's a very, very serious time.
Yeah.
And doing a lot of reading and taking a lot of information to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I put it out there, and I'm sure you know that my grandfather passed away.
Right.
Recently.
Yeah. Condolences. And, once again, sincere, yeah. Deep condolences.
So, yeah. And on the death certificate, you had acute kidney failure, you had pneumonia, and you had COVID-19. Now, as far as I'm concerned, from my research, COVID-19 doesn't exist, okay? Corona is another word for common cold. So something's out there which is causing a problem, and I think something has been genetically modified, or in the technical term, something's been weaponized. And either it's escaped from the lab or it's been put out there deliberately. That's one pointer. The other thing is this 5G running at 60 gigahertz. And I'm more looking at that now, because I went for a ride the other day and I was shocked how many towers have gone up, which nobody can tell you when they went up. Now, how can that be? How can it be that towers are going up in front of your home and no one can know when they're going up? So when are they putting these towers up? Even on the road where I travel every day, I took my bike, you know, and went for a ride, and there was at least five towers there, which I knew there were one, but when the other rest of them popped up, I don't know. So there it is. But yeah. What I do know is that we're in serious issues and serious problems, and I don't think we're addressing our mind. This is my personal... I don't think we're really dealing with it as appropriately, because, you know, what, if you're under attack, you have the right to defend yourself
right.
by any means necessary.
Right.
And if you're not doing that, then I have to ask you, what are you doing? Are you just sitting there waiting to die? What is the problem? What is the issue? You know, personally, I heard a conversation on the radio over here about leaders. I've never been one to follow anybody. I follow my own instincts. I follow my own thoughts and my imagination. And if a leader tells me to go left and I don't think go left, I'm going to go right. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to follow him and then blame him for my ignorance, my idiocy. I was born with a mind.
Right.
And a body and a soul. So here what now? I'm just saying, Brother Ochi, it's about time we look in the mirror and take a good look at ourselves here. Because I tell you what, right? The future generations ain't going to forgive us if we don't act. They are not going to forgive us, right? And there's an African proverb. If you don't bring the children into the village, they will burn it down. Mm. I don't think we can smell the fire. I don't think we can smell the fire. It's all around us, but I don't think we can smell it, okay?
Yeah.
So there it is. But Franklin is my man. Franklin is absolutely delivering the truth. And right now, look, Brother Ochi, let me just put this out there. Brother Franklin, yeah, absolutely hits the dot every time. Perfect. It's up to one. If one wants to listen, in Jamaica, Brother Marcus will tell you, we have a saying in Jamaica. We say, if you don't hear, then you're going to feel. Okay? So it's not about whether he's a good teacher or not. You better listen and pay attention. Because if you don't hear and you're not really paying attention, you will feel. And that means death. Okay? So that's it. So Brother Franklin, yeah, you know, he's doing the work. And right now we're under a psychological attack like no other. You know, and people are repeating the narratives being put out by the same people who are out to destroy them. That is lunacy. That means you're not looking at what's going on. That means you're not investigating. That means you're not using your own brain. That means you're not looking outside the box. You're just repeating the same narratives that your adversaries are putting out there. And he talked about all this. He talked about all this. And you're doing the same thing because that means you weren't paying attention. Okay? So that's it.
All right.
It's not about a good teacher, bad teacher. It's about paying attention to the words. Words sound power, as the Rastaman said. So our respect to you, Brother Oshie. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, my brother.
Burning always.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Appreciate you, brother, from across the pond. Right on. Brother Paul's email address is CONNECTTHEDOTS@gmail.com. Connect the dots. @gmail.com, and that's for you, Brother West, and anybody else. And we appreciate Brother Paul for what he is brings to the program on this program and Time for an Awakening period and what he does over the other side. And one day, once this madness is over, I'm going to go visit Brother Paul and me and probably a couple of others, maybe Brother Franklin and Brother Kwaku. And if you want to go, let's go. Let's go to the UK and start some stuff. Brothers and sisters, we're winding down. We only got a few more minutes. I appreciate those who have called in, those who have listened today. Once again, we're saying that for all this craziness and how we have been treated as African people must stop. But the only way to stop it is we are unified. It cannot stop otherwise because we're fragmented and divided. The enemy utilizes that to strike at us in different ways and to sow the seeds of division and discourse amongst us, of self-hatred, denial of African. Just like I was listening to my dear sister, who's an ancestor, Queen Ifama, and she was talking about Dr. Amos Wilson. When you transcend from an African, a black thought process to an African thought process, and that's what we must do. We must transition from a black thought process to an African thought process because we are African people. And no greater time that is necessary and needed for African people to be as one, to recognize our Africanness and to support that. And the many times I've read the Enye Sesim, for many times that I've talked and read things from Baba Baruti, and others who believe and understand that the only solution to the problems that Africans have is African unity. Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That is it. There is no other choice. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed day. Be with us on Wednesday. when we welcome back our good brother, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black Matrix, on Wednesday. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahodia means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Peace.